Hello, and welcome to Education Radio. This is a podcast of the Alamosa School District, and I am your host, Adriana Chapa. I am a mother, teacher, and your neighbor. Joining me is Assistant Superintendent Dr. Luis Murillo.
Hi, Adri. I'm excited for several reasons today.
Good, okay.
Not only because it's Tuesday and we get to record our podcast and we have an excellent guest, but I just got the news that our high school knowledge bowl team has won regionals.
Wow, that is awesome. It's
amazing.
Yes. Congratulations to the team and their sponsors. And so are they on to state now?
They're on to state, and they're also getting to travel to Chicago.
Oh, for a national meet?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they also won the second season of the Quiz Kids show, which will be airing soon. So we'll make sure that people know about it so they can watch it.
You know, and it's an awesome team. And so I'm hoping that we can get them on board and, you know, can be on the show.
Let's plan on that.
All right.
We were just talking about that.
Okay, so if you're listening and invitations out there, call us.
Be on the lookout for an email.
There you go.
The other thing I want to share is, you know, this is the time of the year when we as a system get to engage in the process of mid-year evaluations. And what this means is that every single person in our system gets to talk with their direct supervisor in the evaluation process with the intent of improving as individuals and as a system to provide the best educational experience we can.
Sure. And having just been through it last week, it's a painless meeting of the minds and discussion, and always helpful. All right. Well, let's move on to our first segment, Happenings at Our Campuses. So what do you want to share with us today?
Well, I always find it hard to pick and choose what to share because we have so much going on and so many things to highlight. But today, I want to highlight our elementary schools. You know, they just had assemblies last week to recognize and celebrate excellence and effort.
Awesome.
That's what we're about as a system. So AES K-2 celebrated perfect attendance, which we're focused on. It matters when kids are here, and every
That's
day matters.
Right.
We know that when we can get our kids here, we can educate them.
Mm-hmm.
They also have something called Moose Pride Awards, and this is where teachers get to recognize students for showing excellence in their classrooms. So it could be a variety of things because we know that excellence looks different.
Absolutely.
So they get to recognize that. And I learned today that there were 125 students who were recognized for their efforts during second quarter.
Wonderful.
Now, AES 3-5 recognizes students at their PBIS assemblies,
okay,
which are very similar to what I just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And they recognize excellence in behavior, excellence in academics, as well as excellence in attendance.
Because it's all important.
It's all important.
That's right.
And you'll be able to talk about this. But today, Ortega Middle School started their honor roll assemblies to recognize students with a 3.5 GPA or above in second quarter.
Right. And so that started today with sixth graders, and we're moving on to seventh graders tomorrow and eighth graders. And if your child is getting this award, you should have gotten some kind of notification. So that you can join us tomorrow Wednesday for seventh graders and Thursday for eighth graders. All right.
That's right.
Okay. Good things to celebrate. All right. So we're going to move on to our next segment, Celebrate. So we have an exciting interview coming up, right?
We do.
So let's get started.
All right. So we have had other board members on our podcast before when they were running for a position.
Uh-huh.
Today we have the pleasure and the honor of having one of our current board members. So I want to introduce Luella Lundberg. But before we get onto interviewing her, I want to talk about what the Board of Education hopes to accomplish for this year or as this new board.
All right.
I'm going to sort of read through them quickly,
okay,
and then we can get into them. So they have the goal of updating our facilities master plan by conducting fully accounting concerns, contracting with an organization to complete the evaluation, and creating a list of needs, priorities, and potential solutions. Here's another podcast for later on. They want to work more cohesively as a governance team for the benefit of children and district constituents, and I could tell you that that's happening.
Uh-huh.
They continue to move the district forward academically, achieving the strategic plan priorities we've established for students' learning outcomes. Yes, huge goal. Continue to work supporting good student behavior and wellness to positively impact the safety and security of students and staff and overall learning opportunities and outcomes. Yes.
Okay.
And then lastly, maintain and build on our recent successes by retaining good teachers and attracting more highly qualified people to work with our children.
All right. And, you know, I was reading an article by Alamosa Citizen mm-hmm. about the new board and the continuation of Dr. Jones's contract. And all of that is wonderful. But as I was reading about what the board had decided on, I have to say I was impressed
mm-hmm.
by what I read and just look forward to what a unified experienced board can do for our district. So let's get on to our guest, okay?
All righty.
All right. So we want to welcome Miss Luella Lenberg, who is a new board member just starting out. You've been here, you've been a board member for 2 months?
A whole 2 months.
Wow. Luella, welcome. And I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself. And so I know a lot of the community members know you, but, you know, there's going to be some new people out there. So tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I attended college at Adams State, both for my bachelor's and my master's. I've lived here the better part of my life. Two children who went through the Alamosa school system, and I taught for 30 years. So I have that experience as an educator behind me as I end up serving on the board.
So kind of, you know, just taking the next step, right? Retired teacher?
Yes,
And continue with the district. That's awesome. All right, so let's get into this.
Yeah, let's get right into it. What is your role as a board member?
Well, I think my first role is to always be willing to learn and listening and learning, and there's a lot to learn in this position. My ultimate goal is to always support our administrators as they promote academic achievement and as they promote improvement of our buildings, because some of our buildings are older, and supporting educators as they look for opportunities to increase their own education to make the classroom better.
Excellent. So, you know, you come to us with a very unique background for this position. So you have taught at the elementary, middle, and high school levels. There are not many people with that kind of experience. So tell us a little bit about that progression from, you know that children take and how that makes you a unique member of our board.
Well, it's very interesting. It is unique. I don't really know of anyone else who's done this. And what it does is it gives you that growth perspective and what their potential is at each level. And you get to see them in a whole different light each time. I've had the opportunity to actually teach some of my students from third grade to sixth and eighth grade to the high school level. And that's been very fun because there's the opportunity to see how much they grow and their potential.
Right. How exciting, I think, as a teacher and for them to come into the classroom and see a familiar face, right?
Yes.
And you've already built that relationship.
Yes. And yes. They know. There's an established trust.
Right.
And I appreciate that, I think, as much as they do, because I know what to expect from them, more or less. I mean, yes, there's growth and there's changes, but still, and they know what to expect from me.
I think that you and Dr. Mumper could probably have awesome conversations, right? Because that's the next level, because you know, going on to the university, whether it be at Adams or, you know, wherever they choose to go. But it would be interesting to just listen to both of you discuss. And it's neat that you're both members of the school board. And so we have someone with experience, you know, from first on through 12th. And then we have Dr. Mumper, who then has that university experience and, you know, yes, working together.
Yeah. And we've had several conversations, not specifically regarding that, but and very interesting conversations. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the conversations because, yes, they're quite rich.
And, you know, as both of you as educators, then sharing with the experience of the other board members, I think that makes for a strong board.
Yes, I hope so.
Absolutely.
All righty. Well, I want to start this next question with a thank you for your service.
Thank
because
you.
We were just talking off air about just the amount of time that it takes to serve on our Board of Education and really the amount of information that is given to you to prepare before board meetings. So why did you choose to run for a school board?
Okay, to be honest with you, I was asked by numerous members of the community, the school, and one of the situations that they always posed is we don't have a lot of educators that are willing to take on that task, and it helps to have knowledge of the system itself, mm-hmm, in order to move into this. And the way I as an educator look at things can be far different than someone who is, say, in the business community.
Yeah. The other experience that you bring, you know, besides the education, is you were also president of the union.
Yes.
Yeah, and that definitely, you know, brings a whole nother perspective because we do engage with our union quite a bit. We have a great working relationship. And in fact, at the last podcast, I was talking about how we're getting ready to engage in the process of negotiations and calendar committee and all of that. So I look forward to your expertise and experience there. All right. So you've been, of course, a citizen of Alamosa for several years. You worked in our system. You've been on our board for the last 2 months. What are some of the things you see as working in our district so far?
Well, I really appreciate the academic growth that has occurred in the last couple of years. It's exciting. And I love the whole idea of upgrading our buildings because some of our buildings, as we all know, including the parents, are in real poor condition and need that upgrade. So those are things that are really important. The other thing is the security. Mm-hmm. That particular aspect of our schools is something that we didn't necessarily experience in our childhood, but we have that to deal with now, and it's being handled in a very positive manner.
And, you know, it's as a teacher, I appreciate having that level of security at our campuses because it's the real world we live in today. And so as a teacher, you're thinking, okay, should something happen, how am I going to deal with getting these children to safety? And so that's it had just been on my mind. And then as we moved into these different measures, it's just brought a sense of relief. And so I know when we have drills and the kids are nervous, and I say, remember, you know, Alamosa PD is going to be here within 2 minutes. They'll be in our building, and we know that our officers are going to be in the hallway before they even get here. And so we're not alone.
Yeah. Well, and following that up with the idea that our educators, those teachers in the classroom, they're on the front line, and students are their priority in all aspects. And so the reassurance from educators to the students, just all that communication and establishing that confidence,
right?
Mm-hmm. In what you say as an educator matters, because they know that they can trust what you say.
Yeah,
and you know we do an evaluation, about whether the kids feel safe, and I always felt good about those. You know, the response I was getting from kids, because we have a plan in place. But the district took care of those big issues.
Mm-hmm.
And
Red Bag, which,
absolutely.
I like knowing or having every single staff member and student accounted for.
Right.
And the Red Bag allows us to do that systemically as we're managing a critical situation.
And for the community members that haven't heard a lot about it, it's a system we use where we immediately communicate with the command center,
mm-hmm.
and we're reporting how many kids we have, how many adults we have in our room. Do we need, some special assistance, whatever it would be. But there's that sense of we're being told what's happening immediately.
Yeah.
And it's a great system.
Yes. All right.
All right. So I'm going to, go off a little bit and ask a tough question, okay? Long ago in another district, I taught high school English, okay? And so I'm always interested what the district is doing in reading and writing. And so this question is really going to go out to both of you. Because having come from a district where there was a district reading list and students who graduated from that school district read a certain, certain good pieces of literature before they graduated. We don't have anything in place. I brought this up 15 years ago. Why don't we have a district reading list? And from first grade through 12th grade, we're going to ensure that our students have read these. They know these novels and characters that are going to be referred to during their lifetimes. We don't have that in place. Why? What is stopping us?
I will answer that. So we'll turn the interview
really
to me, and then
I can
really chime in. I'm smiling.
Yes.
And I'm glad that you're asking this, because we do need to have this, and we're working towards this.
Good.
So when we came on board, and it's actually part of Focus Area 1, which really talks in, and what Luella talked about, our academic improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So when we came in, we had bits and pieces of a curriculum. So all of our teachers had either were working on the sample curriculum, they had created some things under previous leadership, and some of them were using teachers pay teachers. What we did not have and are working on is a K-12 curriculum,
right,
that we can guarantee to our parents, to our students, to everyone that this is what's happening. In fact, you can now go to our website, and there's an instruction and curriculum, and you could see what we're doing, which is a pacing guide, but it really has the prioritized standards, it has the supporting standards, as learning goals, and then on the right side, this is where I'm getting to. It is part of my job to begin collecting and just really learning more about the resources that we have. And what I've learned is we have some areas that are under-resourced. We have had teachers that have had to create or come up with their own resources to teach their standards. We don't want that. We want to have a system where we know that every single subject area is resourced well, because otherwise we won't continue our growth. Part of what you're talking about is that list of resources that we're working towards collecting, so that we know that this is in fact happening and we can guarantee it. But also, this is public information that should be on our website. So it is in the works, as well as, we're working on proficiency scales now, so that there is not a question on what is an A, what is a B, what is a C, we can say your kid is proficient on this standard, or your kid is not quite proficient. So it is in the works. It is the grand scheme of creating our very own curriculum that is publicly available and that is accessible by everyone. And it's not just kept by a department or teachers. Because when I came on board, I was told, yeah, we've done this under previous leadership. And my question was, where is it? And some people had it in the binders and some people didn't. So now, some things have happened. Some standards have changed. We've changed resources, and we change, some things on how we do education. So I'm glad to say that we're in the process. And once we have that reading list, we'll come back and we'll talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. And because, you know, you can go online and you could see, you know, 25 books all high school students should have read, or mm-hmm. 50 books, 100 books you should read in your lifetime. So that is out there. Mm-hmm. And I think as we go through life, there are characters that are referred to. And, you know, when I was teaching Spanish, I thought, you have to know who Don Quixote is.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know about his fighting windmills, you're going to miss that reference. Mm-hmm. It was just like at one point I think it was on social media, and it said somebody was talking about the purple Kool-Aid. Well, those of us from a certain generation, we know what that was, right? But, you know, younger people were saying, oh, I guess that's, you know, and they had it all wrong. They had no idea what it was referring to.
Yeah.
And I think with characters and novels, it's something we have to be aligned with. Mm-hmm. I know my son read the same novel in middle school, read it again in high school, and I thought, well, this is a waste. You know, we've already covered that novel, and what could he be reading instead of this book?
Yeah. And what's coming up next is, once we get to the proficiency scales, is that vertical alignment.
Yes.
And it's not just the vertical alignment, it's what resources, what novels, what et cetera are we using,
right,
to get students to that level of depth and complexity or knowledge of the standard. So it's in the works. I wish we were, I can tell you that we're there, but this is hard work. I mean, we're
it
all educators
is,
here,
absolutely.
And we know how hard of work that is, and we have to continue to give our teachers the time and the guidance and the support to
right.
get there.
And maybe some a little reluctance maybe sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, and we need good, rich literature.
Absolutely.
And we need that in our students' hands. It's what makes them critical thinkers. It's what makes them really analyze things, not just hear things, because, you know, there's so much on the internet. And you need to be able to decipher one, you know, what's real and what isn't. And how do you explain this away, but accept that type of thing? So, yes, we need, and we don't want to limit them, but these are the books you should be reading. These
right.
are the, yeah.
And that's why I love the fact that you're on there, because of your depth of knowledge of literature and knowing reading levels at all levels.
Yeah.
Okay, we could talk about this all the time, right?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
This, here we go.
This leads on to our next question. So we talked about an area of growth, you know, being that we need to continue to work on our curriculum and have a reading list and make it public. What are some of the other areas of growth for a school district?
I think, you know, we continue to improve our security. We still have work to do on that. And I think that that's one of the areas that we want to continue to grow. And by the way, I had an opportunity in a just a drill to use the red bag. And yes, it's a very good tool.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, I think we keep working on academics and improving those academic standards, and all the way from little guys to the big guys.
Mm-hmm.
We need to provide them as much literature and as much information, whether it be science or math, as we can possibly give them. You know, I've heard some people say they'd like to see some higher order math mm-hmm. programs in our schools, to give some of those other kids who have outgrown whatever is on the curriculum mm-hmm. now, they'd like for them to be able to take that next advanced class. And so those are things that I think we look at for the future.
Years ago in another place, our superintendent talked a lot about a K-16 education.
Okay.
And isn't that what
sure.
we are doing it in essence? Because when you're at the high school, you can get an associate's degree before mm-hmm. and graduate it from high school at the same time. So we kind of are
yes.
there, whether it's a K-16 or a K-14, right? We've got those educational programs in place for
They are available. You're mm-hmm. right. And so I think just encouraging, a lot of times students themselves may not know. I mean, there are students yes. that are willing to go and look and ask questions.
Right.
But we have some students who are very hesitant and haven't had that opportunity of their parents perhaps going, doing higher ed, that type of thing. And they don't know where to go to get mm-hmm. that information. Yeah. And I think we try to expand that world too.
And, you know, it could be that this is already happening, but I think because I work with middle school right now, that our middle school students have to know what's out there, you know, and that when they get to the high school, they can go into these other programs.
Yeah.
And it could be that that information is getting to them, but just in my conversation with kids,
not across.
I agree.
All right. Well, okay, you are a teacher of vast experience. We've talked a lot about that. So what advice do you have for parents? Anything you want to put out there?
My first thing is talk to your student, talk to your child or children, and be specific about your questions, because how was your day doesn't cover it. But be specific. What did you learn today in math? Or what are you doing that's interesting in science? And expand on that. The other thing is encourage your children to get into activities. There are so many.
I agree.
Activities that are available and so many different ranges of opportunities that for kids... What I know is that kids are really successful when they get into outside activities also, because they know that they have a responsibility to maintain grades. They have a commitment to whatever the activity is, but they also have a commitment to their own academics. And that's a real good platform to jump off of. The other thing is, you know, parents, don't be afraid to go in and talk to teachers. They're willing to share and they're willing to listen, and don't hesitate to do that.
I found myself sometimes telling students, "We're all on your team."
Yeah,
mom and dad, grandma, whomever's at home, and your teachers. We're on your team. We want you to succeed. But you're right. Ask those questions, because if you say, "How was school today?" Fine. And you still don't know, but right. You're right. Ask specific questions. Excellent. I think your advice on joining activities, we know that students who join activities are more successful in school. They are more apt to stay in
yes.
school and to do well in school.
And it's what we want.
That's what we want.
Because we're all on that team.
Okay. Talking about what we want. You are serving a 4-year term.
I am.
What excites you about the future of our school district and community?
Well, I think there's a lot of good things that are going on right now that I see. First of all, we just renewed our superintendent's contract for another 3 years, and that's exciting in the fact that you need more than a year or two to
yes.
Under your belt, first of all, to know and understand our community and to see all the needs, and a lot of them have been exposed already, but in order to fulfill a lot of that, you need someone who has a commitment to our community for a long period of time. The other thing that I'm excited about is, you know, we have a very strong veteran team of educators in our community.
Yes, we do.
And they are committed to the students of Alamosa. And I've always loved and appreciated that from the very beginning when I started teaching, there were those veteran teachers that you knew you could go to and you could ask any question in the world and they would just fall over backwards trying to help. And that hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. And I think we're really fortunate to have so many good, strong veteran teachers in our community. I'm really excited that we are working on that security phase, especially hearing you, Adri, speak to, yes, you want to feel safer, and it is more comforting to know that these security measures are in place. I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's an advantage for our students and for our educators to have that security. Yeah, so I think we're lucky to have you, Luis, and you, Adri. Yeah. We are lucky in both aspects of that we're on the right track, and there's forward thinking. And I really appreciate that more than anything, because that's what educators want to feel secure in, knowing that our administrators know what direction we're headed.
Right.
And that really helps. And that helps those educators let those students know, this is our expectation. This is what we want. And everybody grows, and this community grows. Yeah.
You know, talking about our experienced staff members, I actually pulled some numbers a little while ago, and I learned that 62% of our staff have at least a master's degree, and the average years of experience across the board is 12 years. And this is, you know, with the recent changes, we had some turnover during the pandemic, we're still at that. I think that's excellent. I think that is.
What was that percentage of?
62% of our staff have at least a master's degree. Nice. This is not
that's
continuation
amazing.
Credits or that's just
right
what it is. And average years of experience is 12 years.
That's wonderful.
That is wonderful.
You do have a very solid staff.
Because it's that continuity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And it's just like you don't want to change administrators often because then they don't get to see those programs in place and growing,
yes,
right? Mm-hmm. When you shut it down and then somebody new comes in with new ideas, and then, you know, as teachers, we go, okay, here we go again. Mm-hmm. You know, so some continuity is very important for our success.
Yeah, because we were in a phase at one time where, yes, in one door and out the other.
Right.
And I would say we get on the train on one side of town, and when we get to the other side, they get off. And so here we are, and so, that's frustrating. Yes.
So good to know. We've got continuity in place. We're continuing with programs. And, you know, when we interviewed Mrs. Wilson from elementary, what is her quote? Do you remember?
Yes, forward is a pace.
Forward is a pace. Yeah, like that. All right, Luella, thank you so much for joining us. And we could talk for another hour or two or three, I know. But thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to hearing, you know, about everything that the board will be, you know, doing, and our superintendent as well. And ultimately, it's all for the students.
It is. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much. Well, moving on to our last segment, upcoming events. What do we have coming up?
Well, I want to start by giving a shout out to the Boys and Girls Club and our 5th-day programming. We have grown to having 204 students signed up and over 100 students consistently participating on Fridays. And this is from 80-some to having 25 kids when we first started. What this means to me is that we have gained the trust of the community that needs us on Fridays. The sessions that we're offering right now is a program called B2B, Backyard to Backcountry, which I would have loved, you know, when I was in school. We also have a partnership with the Fort Garland Museum. That's a 12-week program where students get to go there and learn about the history of the valley.
Yes,
it's
yes.
Wonderful.
That's an excellent program there, too.
Skiing Club. In fact, this Friday, we're taking 30 students to, well, we as a district, but I wish I could go.
Not Louisa.
Yeah. To ski, and then there's also a bike club where students get to learn.
Yes, I saw them driving down my street. So I had to pop out and wave at them.
And they also get to learn all about the bike, maintenance, how to fix it, how to change things. So just real exciting things. There's always room to sign up. They do work on 6-week sessions, but there's always room to get on the next session if you're not part of the fifth-day programming yet.
Excellent. Well, I know that there are activities happening at all the campuses, and so go watch your child do something.
That's right. The other thing that's coming up is parent-teacher conferences just around the corner. Our elementaries will have their conferences on January 29th and February 1st, and our secondary parent-teacher conferences are on February 19th and the 21st, just around the corner.
All right. Well, that does it for today's podcast of Education Radio. And so we just want to remind parents to go watch your children, and thank you for being with us today. Remember that our podcasts are available on the district website in both English and Spanish, and we are a click away. Parents, remember that a good education is key to your child's success and gives them a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District, students today, leaders tomorrow.